All right, so I'm doing my part two to my testimony, and yeah, so I'll go ahead and say a prayer again, and then we'll get started. Lord, thank you so much for all that you do, Lord, and all that you are. We give you praise this morning, Lord, for the ways that you work, your glory in all of us, God, in so many different ways, and you use all the methods. And we thank you for that, God, even if sometimes in those moments we don't like it, but we just thank you anyway, Lord. Thank you for being so gracious and so loving. In your name we pray these things. Amen. All right. So last week, when I ran out of time, it was quite literally at the beginning of me talking about my salvation. So I think I'm just going to redo it again with the salvation part just so I can actually, do the whole salvation just in one place. So my salvation, the process of it, I would say, started around the time that my childhood friend Corey Cooper passed away. So he died in a car accident. He was him and his friend Christina were sitting at a light off of Wilmington. And then there was a car that was going down. He was a drunk driver. He was doing like 100, and then he hit them, and then they just instantly passed away. And it just impacted me deeply, just because at the time, Corey was, I mean, we essentially were like the same person. We were both engaged in the things that kids in high school do with like all the partying and all those things. And there were just a lot of similarities I saw in him, his situation, my situation, that I just kept thinking that easily could have been I could have been in his shoes easily, completely. And I think that was one of the first times where I started to really think of wow, what would happen if I was to pass away right now. And yeah, so I think the life and death question was that was one of the first times where it was really impacting me deeply, and I started to think about it just more often, especially with I was also this was like my going into my senior year as well too, so I was also ending high school and so forth, so I was kind of considering all the things in life, but this was one of the ones that really made me put things into perspective even more. So could we go to the next slide? And then the other part, the second thing was I was going to this it's like a Kenyan Christian conference that I went to. We would always go to it every year, and essentially, it would just be it would be a bunch of young Kenyans, just throughout everywhere, just throughout the nation or whatever. And then we'd all come together, and we all kind of knew each other anyway, but we would always come together for different Kenyan conferences. And this was one of the bigger one that we went to. It was down in Atlanta, and yeah, and this was a. Again, at the time, I'm still partying, I'm still processing all this stuff, and this Kenyan conference, it was kind of, it was a mixture of good things and bad things. So we went there, and we would always get a good word, and the worship would be great, and it would be a good time of community and fellowship. But also at the same time, we were a bunch of young kids, and we would always just kind of get together, and people do not so good things. So it was just I was starting to get that conviction of are you actually a Christian? It's you want to be a Christian, but then you're also there's this bit of hypocrisy of you want to be a Christian, but then also you're doing all these other things, and there seems to be not that much conviction. And honestly, it was kind of just a cultural thing too at the time. With a lot of us Kenyans were kids, were you were just expected to perform and do well, and You know, even a lot of these kids in here now are like, they're all like lawyers and doctors and everything. So like your parents just, they brought you to the U.S. and like they want the best for you. And we knew that, and like everyone was like doing the best that they could. And also another emphasis of that too was like they really wanted you to like take the faith seriously. And I do think that like myself and all the other kids, like we wanted that. But also at the same time, like we just kind of came to the U.S. and like there were a lot of like just like non-Christian influences that were also at play there. And I think a lot of kids were just kind of struggling through it. And but at the same time, like you also needed to show face in front of your parents. So there was just a lot of like, I'll just kind of like when my parents are around, when I'm around like the Christians, like I'll do the Christian thing. But then like when I'm not around the church people, then it's like I'm just doing all the non-Christian things. So there was, and I remember like at the conference specifically, there was this one artist. His name was Young Byrne, and he, so the people at the conference, they kind of caught wind of, like, us being, doing things, like, outside of the conference, and they knew that, and they were trying their best to, like, sort of address it in a way that, like, that would kind of hit home for us. And I remember, yeah, so there was an artist, his name was Young Byrne. He gave, like, a testimony, and he talked about, he was around our age as well too. I think he's just a little bit older, but he was around our age. I remember, so he gave a testimony, and he talked about how like he ended up having to go to jail for 2 years for like stealing the car, and then like in prison, like he almost passed away in jail, and essentially like he was like looking at all of us and like I was doing exactly what you guys were doing. And I was doing the exact same thing. And I just want you to know, like, there's truly more to life. And, like, the Lord, like, wants more for you. Like, it seems like this is everything for you right now, like the partying and all that stuff. But, like, there's just so much more, like, joy in the Lord. There's more that the Lord can offer for you. And I just remember, like, when he spoke at, like, it was like exactly what I needed to hear, because I was already starting like that process of being convicted. And yeah, so there was that conference. And then I got back home. And then sometime like within that month as well, Greg Weiss, our old pastor, he was going through, I think it was like Operation Reconciliation, like a series like that. And I think I don't remember, like, the specific sermon title, but I think the topic that he was on, but I think it was, like, Receiving Jesus or something, but it was just one of those, like, gospel-centered messages, and I just remember, like, it was one of those messages where our old pastor, Greg Weiss, like, he kind of went off the rails and was, like, he was just harping, like, on the gospel so much and, like, about, like all these things that you struggle with, like, at the time, like, you just think, like, you're everything, and, like, you just want him so much, but, like, the Lord just wants more for you. He just wants more for you, and he kept going on and speaking specifically on that topic, and it was just, like, even more, like, heaps of, like, conviction, and the Lord was, like, he just was bringing attention to the fact that, like I want you, and I could really, really pour out, like, my love and my mercy on you big time, And yeah, I just remember, like, it was just one of those, like, gospel-centered messages that the Lord used for me in that situation. And yeah, it was just, like, even more, like, the Lord convicted me. And then, yeah, so this was Sunday, August 5th, 2012. I went to, there was a conference in town called Restoring Lives International. I don't know if you've guys have heard of it, but yeah, so it's essentially like a parachurch ministry, but they also like put on like they put on a conference, and it's like different things about like essentially like the beginning of the faith, and they cover like different topics about like, okay, this is what salvation looks like to you. This is like the meaning of the gospel and why it's important and so forth. And it was just one of those like good news, bad news sort of like topics that they covered, and it was even just more things that the Lord was just kind of convicting me on. And I remember I was there that Sunday. I think I was going that entire weekend for it. But I remember that Sunday specifically, towards the end of the conference, they ended up having like a time of worship, and they also had so they had a time of worship, and then they essentially did like it wasn't like an altar call. They just said like, hey, like if you want us to like pray for you, we can like pray for you, like if you want to know the Lord and so forth. And I remember them like praying for me. And I remember like having this sensation of like, if you guys have ever been like in an accident and like you kind of have that like your life flashes before your eyes feeling. I remember like when they prayed for me, I kind of had that feeling of like, it just felt like a really like important moment. And when they prayed for me, I just kind of felt this like, essentially, like the rest of my life just kind of flashed before my eyes, like, and it was like, and then it just was like, and it just felt like one of those like cosmic moments in your life. So August 5th, 2012, at the Restoring Lives Conference, I gave my life to the Lord. It was one of those scenarios where it's like the Lord was just using all these different factors and especially like with the identity and like he just was convicting me a lot, but like I felt the conviction, but I also like felt the Lord was just calling me more towards like his love and like just this side of life that like just has way more to offer. It was just a good blend of that. The other thing I forgot to leave out, or I accidentally left out on the slide, but before that too, there was also another time where like I remember I started on the worship team, and I was in the worship team, and I remember like I went to like some high school party like the night before. It was like a Saturday night, and I remember like I just got like so like uncontrollably drunk. And I threw up, and I had, like, vomit on myself. And I had to, like, clean myself up. And then I got ready, and I remember, like, going to church and then also, like, singing on the worship. And I remember, like, that was also one of the things, too, where the Lord just kind of was, like, hypocrisy, like, what are you doing? So there was just, like, a lot of, like, the topic specifically of, like, You don't need to fake it till you make it. You know, it's like God wants like now, like he wants like you and your most like all the problems and everything. Like you don't need to like just do all of these things, like all the bad things, and then also like, oh yeah, but then I'm also like gonna go to church and like be this version. It's like the Lord sees everything. Like, he sees both versions, and, like, he knows your heart, so it's, like, you don't need to, like, put on this performance for him. Like, he knows you. And that was just, like, one of the things, too, that was essentially, you know, going back to, like, the Kenyan conference that I went to, like, it was that same thing of, like, you don't need to put on this performance. It's, like, the Lord wants, like, the honest version of you. Like you can be honest with him. Like if you're upset, if you're saying I'm struggling with this, I'm struggling with that, like the Lord wants that version of you. Like he doesn't want the version of like of you like playing a part but your heart like not being in it. Can we go to the next slide? So after that it was amazing. I don't know. I felt like I was like in a brand new world, And I was just like so excited like about the Lord big time. So there was just, like the early years were just, it was some of the most exciting times. Like I remember just like reading like scripture so much. I remember like reading books. That's also like around the time that we started a campus outreach. And also we did, so we did the campus outreach. We also did the kids ministry as well, Kids Rock. So it was just such an exciting time. Like I was like 19. I was reading the Word. I was listening to a lot of Lecrae. Like everything was just it was so exciting. So and I remember like just going to like Wright State's campus and like being able to like just speak to the kids and just letting them know, like, there's just more to this. This is just more to this. Or, like, even some of the kids I went to high school with, they stopped inviting me to parties because I would just be like, what are we doing here? So it just was, like, super exciting. It was, like, I felt like I just found this, like, brand new thing that was just so exciting that I had. I was like, you guys just need to know about this. Like, what are we doing here? It's like, why are we doing the things that we're doing? Like, there's just so much more. So, but yeah, so it was a great time of like community, and it was a great time of just like fellowship, of going to Wright State, and you know, and our old pastor as well, like he used to have like a lot of Bible studies, so we would go to like Wright. I would help him out with like a lot of, with, you know, helping him out with like setting up the Bible studies as well, and then the main meeting, we were doing worship, we were doing all types of events. Social events. I mean, also just reading so many books. Like there, it just felt like there was so much to like learn about the Lord and like and understand Him. And it just was such an exciting time. Like the worship, like all the songs and worship, like they just all the times of worship, just like they always hit every single time. Like all the songs, everything was just, it just was amazing. Like, that was just some of the most like exciting times of my life. And I remember too, like just the conversations. There was so many like late night conversations, like on people's back porches or Wright State, walking the trails. It was such an exciting time. It was one of those like, it helped me a lot just because I felt I got like the sort of like beginning stage that you need of like understanding the Lord, and then also learning like more of like the informational side of things, of like understanding like what salvation is, what like reconciliation is, like learning all of these things, like baptism, adoption, and like really sort of like learning like the information about your faith, and also, but also like tying it back to the Lord and seeing how He's working as well, and like understanding like, okay, yeah, reading the Bible, like what am I looking for here? Like what am I doing when I'm actually reading the Bible? So it was just like all of these things, and like understanding the faith, and understanding like what it means, like what that looks like for you to like put all of these things into your life, and like, and for you to like operate according to like His word, and how like living a life that is informed by the Lord. So yeah, it was just such an exciting time. And again, you know, when you're 19, 20, it's like, it's just so fun. It's like when you have people your age that you get to worship with and jump and worship and you know, just sing, hang out all the time. Like you want to go over here and talk to these people about the Lord. It's just, it was such an exciting time. So yeah, some of these photos, I couldn't figure out like, you know, some of the best photos, but yes. I think he was called Santa Claus. Yeah. Yeah, so we used to have a Kids Rock, and one year I just was like, I think I want to play Santa. I was like, I know all the kids know that Santa isn't black, but I was like, I'll just do it anyway. So the kids would always just pull my beard off and just be like, Santa isn't black, and then we just have a conversation about it. It happened every year. But yeah, so they started calling me Santa Claus. So and every year, like, they kept looking forward to it. It's like, as soon as we see him, you hop on his back, and then you pull his arm down, and then you pull the beard. So they had a whole system after year three. So so and then these two kids were those were some of the kids as well, too, from, like, Kids Rock as well. And then that was the photo on the bottom right, that one over there. That's me, Sydney. And then, like, my cousin and then my friend, we saw Nicole C. Mullen. She came to the one of, like, the Right to Life when we used to do the Right to Life. They ended up bringing Nicole C. Mullen, who sings, like, My Redeemer Lives. So it was just exciting times. It's like, you get to see everything. Like, we got to do so many different types of events. And in the church, like, that was, like, when we really were, like, we just had so many different types of ministries going on. And we also, and everyone's kind of, like, young and not having families yet, too. So it was, like, everyone was just kind of available for everything at all times. So it was, like, so I guess we're just always going to be doing stuff. You know, it's like, yeah, let's do a tie-dye event and then also do a Bible study. And then also, like, and then let's go worship at someone's house and then come back to Wright State and then go dorm to dorm talking to people. And it was like, we could just do everything all the time because everyone was, like, young and no one had families yet. So we also helped out with, like, the Hope Rising at the, you know, now. But, yeah, so we had, there was just all many, so many different types of events. And then also, like, learning, like, just some of, like, the other Christian disciplines, like learning what fasting is and learning, like, why we fast in the first place and, like, learning how to, like, set aside that time for the Lord. And the Lord also, like, using that. Also at the time, too, like, I went through, you know, counseling essentially and, like, going through, like, more, like, deep inner healing for, like, you know, just childhood trauma and just some of the things, like, I went through, like, in middle school and just going through, like, forgiveness and the sort of, like, the things that have affected you for, like, long periods of time of your life, like, addressing those things, you know, and, like, obviously, when you come to the Lord, like, you don't address everything all at once, but you you take the time to, like, address, like, this and that topic or, like, just going through, like, okay, well, I know I struggled with, like, with the low self-esteem and, like, you know, being made fun of, all of these things. Like, there's just so many different topics that you could, like, that the Lord wants to address in certain ways and in certain times. So, like, I went through the counseling for it, and then also just going through, like, discipleship and again, like, just learning how to, like, read through the scripture, learning how to, like, understand, like, trying to understand it, learning how to, like, look to, like, ask different questions and, like, ask the right questions, it's just... And, like, when I was going through this and I was just kind of thinking about that time, I'm like, it really was, like, it was electric. It was a great time. It was so fun. Let's see. So, yeah, books. I've read a bunch of books, of course. And then also at the time, it's like we at our old church building, like, there used to be a time where, like, so at the time I was working a fast food job, and I had, like, I worked, like, a second shift job, so, like, I had the entire day for the most part, like, it's, like, the morning up until, like, 4 or 5 p.m. to, you know, just kind of read and do whatever. So there used to be times where, like, someone would just be at the church, like, reading, you know, and, like, we could just, like, you can mess with someone. It's like, hey, do you want to go to the church and just read for, like, 2 hours, 3 hours? It's like, yeah, let's go do it. Yeah, so there was always just times to read books or read articles or, you know, listen to sermons, worship music, all of that. So that was kind of like the time immediately after I kind of gave my life to the Lord. Could we go to the next slide? So yes, these are some of the books. It's kind of hard to see up there, but so I'll go through some of the books and sermons that kind of helped me out. So of course, like the book Boundaries by Henry Cloud, that was huge. Honestly, to this day, I still read that book at least like once a year, because it's just one of those books that like I wish I had that book at 15, and that I could read it like 10 times in a row. It just kind of goes into like so it talks about like boundaries, but like it talks about it also from like a Christian lens, and it shows how not having like the right type of boundaries could totally just derail your life for like the rest of your life. Another book was Follow Me by David Platt, and I love that book so much just because it's one of those like super simple, like easy read gospel books. And it just talks about like salvation and like what it looks like to actually follow the Lord, what that means. But the way they do it is it's just such a simple, like digestible way of like talking about it. It just was good. So also Total Forgiveness Experience by R.T. Kendall. That was, So the forgiveness thing, that was one of those things where, like, okay, I knew I needed to forgive, and I was like, okay, yeah, forgive him. That's fine. But it's like, no, like, you're going to have to do it now, and you're probably going to have to do it, like, 70 times 7 for the rest of your life. And, like, that was one of the things, like, I didn't realize. I was like, oh. And also just, like, understanding, like, what forgiveness is, and, like, it's not like, you just saying like, oh yeah, I mean they probably didn't mean it. They were fine, like, you know, like we were all just ordinary kids, and you know, yeah, like kids always make fun of all kids, and then they grow up, and then they're fine. It's like you don't need to like you don't need to let them off the hook. Like even if they are kids, like they still did what they did, and you still felt the way you felt. You still need to forgive them anyway. The Lord wants you to forgive them. So yeah, just like understanding that was huge, just because. That's one of those books that, like, I've had to go back to, like, over time as well. So, and then another one, one of the other books that, like, really impacted me was The Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozer. That was one of those books where I really kind of learned a lot about, like the Lord, you know, like, understanding, like his attributes and so forth. And yeah, I didn't even know that was a thing. I just was like, yeah, it's just God. Like, yeah, it's God, Jesus, the Trinity, that's fine. It's like, I didn't know there was like, you know, like understanding like his attributes and how that relates to us was like huge for me, because it really helped with like me understanding the Bible, like big time. I was like, okay, yeah, so I know he's providential. So now I'm able to like understand like the meaning of like suffering, or seeing his providence and like this and that part of the Bible. I think understanding his attributes for me specifically, like just helped my scripture reading and like understanding the Bible. Cause I felt like the Bible always kind of pointed back to like one aspect of like his attributes. So and that, like, that was like super important for me, because like it kind of helped with like, having that framework in mind anytime like you read the Bible, or like anytime you come across times in the Word where it's like, okay, I'm not understanding this, but okay, like, but what about this and that attribute? Like understanding that, like, you know, he's above time, or like understanding like his providence and understanding like his love. It's like, okay, well, if I look at it from this and that lens, then it's starting to make more sense. And then it kind of helped me like piece things together in a way that's like, okay, yeah, now I see where he's working here. So, and then another book that I still read at least like once a year is Love Your God With All Your Mind by J.P. Moreland. That was another book too that was like, you know, like learning how to like intellectually like love the Lord with your mind. I liked it for that. It talked about the topic of also like his attributes, but then it also talked about how, like, you know, just intellectually thinking about the Lord. It's like learning how to like use logic, of course, but then also it's like, you know, learning how to like intellectually understand and also like communicate those things without, but like doing it in a way that's like humble, you know, and not you just like, oh, I know everything, and I just read like two scriptures, and now like I can conquer the world and like, you know, preach 10 sermons. It's like, no, it's like you understand the word, and obviously there's going to be like opposition, and there's going to be like, you have to like put those things into practice and like learn like what that scripture looks like to like, you know, when you're talking to like unbelievers or something, and they don't understand stuff. And it's like learning how to like, learning the intellectual things, but then learning how to like rightly apply them as well. And I'm trying to think what other. So there's also a book called A House for My Name by Peter Lighthart. Some people know that. That book, it took me a while just because it's pretty heady. It's like, you know, it talks about like, yeah, so it talks about like the Bible is like, it's like a bigger picture, like understanding the Bible, like with all the different themes and seeing it as like a house. And like, it's one of those books that like you kind of need to go through like just section by section. You can read it all in one sitting and you probably could get a lot out of it, but it's also, it's one of those books that you kind of like need to read it and like understand it and like really delve into it over the course of time. And then another book is God's Big Picture, which is, again, another book that sort of like, it shows like the bigger themes and like principles of the word and like different themes and foreshadowings and all those sort of things. And that book meant a lot. And then another one, this was kind of like the last like 3 or 4 years. There's a book called Understand the Bible in 90 Minutes by Joel McDermott. And I really like that book because it's just like, it's literally what it says. Like, you get to understand the Bible in, like, 90 minutes. And it just gives you, like, a quick overview, like, all the different, like, just, you know, like, the Old Testament, New Testament. Like, this is what Proverbs is about. This is what Ecclesiastes is about. Like, and it just kind of, like, gives you, like, a quick summary of all these things. And it's like, this is why the Old Testament is important. It's why the New Testament. And it's like, and they also, a lot of these books, too, like, they have audio versions, but also the same thing, too, with, like, the Understand the Bible in 90 Minutes is also, like, an audio version. And, yeah, it's just one of those, it's one of those books that, like, I like to re-listen to anyway, just to, you know, sometimes you need, like, a refresher. So, and that's, like, one of those, like, quick refreshers. And I'll go through some of the sermons. I feel like when I was doing this section, I was like, I could name, like, all the sermons. It's like, I've been in the faith now for, like, 10 plus years, it's like, this. I'm like, all the sermons, listen to all the sermons, read all the books. It's like, I don't know how to narrow them down, so, like, this list isn't even exhaustive, honestly. It's like, some of this stuff, too, has been more, like, in the past, like, 5 years or so. So some of the sermons, God's Grace to Prodigals and Legalists, bless you, by our old pastor that used to be here, John Weiss. And that was one of those books, or that was one of those sermons that, I don't know, I just needed. So the whole point of the sermon, he talks about how, like all people regularly, like, forget, like, the point of life. And especially, like, in the faith, he essentially talks about how, like, in the prodigal son story, that we all essentially go from, like, being the prodigal son to, like, the legalist, and we essentially do that, like, back and forth, like, in our Christian faith sort of thing, and it's, like, so easy to do that, and yeah, and that's, you know, especially with, like, some of the hypocrisy that I was dealing with at the time, like, that was one of those, like, you know, I don't know, I just always felt like that was always, like, my Christian faith was, like, without the Lord, I'm always just going to try to bounce forth from, like, one or the other. Because, like, especially once you come into the faith and you understand that, like, the Lord is all that there is to offer, it's like, I guess I'm still technically in the faith, but, like, I want to approach the Lord from, like, from, you know, I'm either, like, oh, God, I'll leave you over there, and then I'll come back to you, or there's, like, I'm going to do all like the Christian things, like, but my heart is going to be in a sort of thing. So that was just one of those sermons that deeply impacts me even to this day. I still listen to it too as well. So a lot of these like books and sermons, I try to like, you know, go over every once in a while. Yes. Yes, yeah. Yeah, so you can type it in. No, it's just like if you go into sermons and then you type it in, you should be able to type it in. And yeah. Yeah, so on our website, if you type in like the title of the sermon, then it should be able to pop up. So, and then you can like listen to it if you wanted to listen to it. And then another one that helped me a lot too was Remembering as a Spiritual Discipline by Daniel Williams. That was one of those I think that was one of those sermons that's kind of helped me like within like the past 5 years. Because I do think, like, there's times where, you know, again, like, when you first come to the Lord, like, everything's exciting, everything's happening. And over time, as you go on, the Lord is always calling you to, like, return back to your first love. And just learning how to, like, remember in the right way, right? Like, in the Bible, there's the right way of remembering, and then there's the wrong way of remembering. Like, the Israelites did not remember in the right way. Like, they just complained and were like, oh, I miss the slavery. It's like, yeah. So like they didn't remember in the right way, but like David would always like remember the Lord and like His goodness, and like he would use that as a way of like of being encouraged in the Lord. And that was essentially like the theme of the sermon. So then there's also other sermons that we have like in our church. Eight Essential Elements of the Gospel by our old pastor, Grace Upon Grace. That one helped me out a lot, too, just because I think the topic of grace, I always just thought it was like, it's like, oh, yeah, just, you know, like, I was bad off, and then, you know, now I have the Lord, and then that's fine. It's like, I never understood how, like, grace empowers you. And that sermon series kind of, like, helped me understand, like, how you actually, like, use grace and how, like, grace is, like, I mean, honestly, like, it's the most important thing. Like, it's so important to, like, you know, learning how to, like, actually do the Christian thing right sort of thing. Another one is, yeah, so we also have a Heidelberg Catechism series as well. And then another one recently, Michael Hoff actually suggested this. It's called Death to Distraction by Michael Todd. And I know some people are like, I know Michael Todd is a little bit of a controversial figure to some people, but I personally enjoy it, you know, so he had this series. Yeah, it's called Death to Distraction. And it, you know, he goes through the story of Samson and Delilah. And essentially, he just talks about how, like, sin is, like, a distraction and how, like part of sin is just to, I mean, like, the biggest thing is, like, he just wants to distract you long enough to not, like, worry about the Lord or, like, really look into the Lord. And like, a lot of ways, like, if the enemy can't, like, completely derail you, he'll just kind of, like, distract you. And then, you know, like, you look up one day and you're like, I was thinking of the proverb when I was going through that series of, like, there's a proverb that talks about, like, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, and then poverty hits you and want comes at you like an armed man. And I think that's, like, that's essentially how, like, distractions work. It's like, if the enemy can't, like, completely take you out with, like, certain things, he'll just kind of keep you distracted long enough, and then, like, you'll look up 20 years later and you're like, what? Where all these weeds come from? It's like, how is my field overgrown? Like, so, that sermon is, it's a little bit, like, it's kind of like a spoon-feeding, like, type of sermon where, like he talks about the topic, but, like, it's a little bit drawn out. Honestly, like, it should be, I think it's like a 7-part series or like an 8-part series, but really it should have been more like 4 or something like that. But anyway, I still enjoyed it. So I don't know if anyone else will enjoy it, but, you know, and again, I know how some people feel about Michael Todd, but I appreciate it. And then, so going with that depth of distraction, they talked about Samson, like in you know, I think it's like Judges 16, I believe. So the same, like the same theme of that. There's this podcast. There's these girls. They're called Girls Gone Bible. It's kind of like a terrible title if you know it, but anyway. But they have this podcast, and like the girls are like they're so spirit led and. And yeah, like they talk about like different topics or whatever, but they talked one on, it's called Lust and Deception, and it was also on like Judges 16, and they were talking about Delilah, and you know, that was one of the ones like I kind of recently came across, and I've just kind of been like diving on that topic in particular, because like, especially like, I'm at the point now where like I've read Proverbs like a few times, like the Proverb of Day. And when I was going through like Judges and then also like listening to the Michael Todd series and also the Girls Gone Bible, like they did the Lust and Deception, I was like, I was starting to notice, I'm like, Delilah is kind of like the, you know, like, because they were talking about how like her name means like temptress or like temptress in the night. And I was thinking about like the Proverbs where it talks about like the adulterous woman who comes at night. And I was just starting to like see some connections with like certain verses, like in Proverbs. But yeah, so I mean, they do like a good, like they do good, like topical studies. But you know, they're also girls too. So sometimes they're like, oh, I like your hair. And so, you know, I have to speed through some stuff just cause I'm like, all right, come on. I'm like, let's get to it. I don't need to know about this skincare stuff. I'm like, come on. I'm like, one time they called Jesus cute, and I was like, all right. I'm like, you girls, man. I'm like, that's what I get for listening to a girls podcast. But, and then another podcast, this was kind of like an interview. There used to be this comedian called John Crist. He went through this scandal back in like 2019, and he was, you know, and he also ended up like being restored in the process, but like, and the Lord like used it big time in his life, and he just talked about it. So it's called, yeah. So John Chris's confession about being canceled. So So he had to go through like a rehab facility and all this different things, and yeah, he just talked about how like, you know, like he said how like all Christians should go through almost like a period of like their own personal rehab. You know, of like being able to like take time away in solitude and like kind of think about your life, like, you know, in like a bigger way. So, all right, let's go to the next slide. Okay, yeah, this is it. This is the last one. It's been an exciting time, of course, and but. I do think, like, in the past 5 years, there's been, like, a little bit of a struggle, just, like, in terms of, like, a deeper heart connection with the Lord, just because, like, in a lot of ways, of course, like, I grew in the faith, and I still love the Lord, and I still enjoy Him, but I do think, like, there's times where, like, the Lord kind of wants that, like, inner chamber version of you, and that was one of those things, like, I kind of was always hesitant to, like, sort of give the Lord, just because I was like, I'm like, that's a lot of vulnerability, and I'm like, and if I give that to you, then I just kind of feel like, you know, that's like a Adam and Eve in the garden sort of, like, nakedness. I'm like, that's really vulnerable, and the Lord was kind of like, you know, He was always kind of putting that topic on my heart, like, nonstop, especially, like, the past 5 years, and honestly, like, I really didn't start making progress until, like, my mom passed away and also my friend Ken. So my friend Ken was, like, I've known him since I was, like, 9 years old, and he essentially was, like, a younger brother. And he passed away unexpectedly in 2022. No, it was December 21. 20, yeah. So it just kind of impacted me deeply. And I felt like the Lord was, like, trying to use that to, like, really draw my attention and really, like, you know, like, he just kind of wanted, like, that heart, like, type of vulnerability with me. And I felt like I always kind of gave it to him a little bit here and there. But, like, I think the death kind of, like, it... He started to use it with when he passed away. But then, like, when Ken passed away, like, I didn't really handle it well, like, the first year. You know, like, at the time, that was also the same year, too, that, like, my mom got cancer as well. So it just was, like, such a hard time. I was, like, I was working 50, 60 hours. I'm, like, I had a death, and then also, like, my mom got cancer, and then it was, like, I just didn't have, like, any time at all to, like, really process anything. Like, everything was just kind of constant go. And I remember, like, specifically when Ken passed, I just didn't want to process it at all. But I started to feel it, like, affecting me, like, negatively. But, you know, but I think over time, like, I understood that, like, you're either going to deal with this right now and deal with it the right way, or, like, it's just going to end up being a problem and you're just going to be derailed. So, and the reason I knew that, too, was, like, when my mom passed away, it was, like, that death and then that death just kind of compounded, and it was like a huge snowball. And it was one of those, like, the Lord just wanted me to, like, he just wanted me to just sit still and, like, literally just be in front of him. And, like, be at his feet, and, like, and he just wanted to love me just to love me. And I think there was, like, a part of me that, like, especially with, like, all the confusion and stuff when I was a kid, and, like, you know, just being made fun of, all those things, I always kind of just felt, like, unloved. And then also I felt, like, just in general that, like, this life was just meant to, I don't know, I kind of just had this, like, I had this, like, idea of, like, life was just always inherently going to be uncomfortable at best, or that you're just always going to suffer, you know, like, and there's people that, like, suffer for the Lord, and then there's, like, unbelievers that just kind of suffer just to suffer. And, like, going back to, like, the prodigal versus the legalist, like, I felt like in a lot of ways I went from the prodigal to the legalist, but also, like, I don't know, there was just, like a vulnerability that the Lord wanted for me. And, like, that's one of the things that really, like, the past, like, 5 years that I've just kind of been dealing with is, like, learning how to, like, just sit in the presence of the Lord. You know, it's like I learned a lot of the things about, like, about the faith, but, like, the Lord also just wanted to just hang out and, like, be friends and just have a relationship. And that's one of the things that, just, like, the past 5 years or so that, like, the Lord's been working on me on, so, yeah. Anyone? Sorry, I took long, guys. I apologize. Any questions? All right. No, you're fine. Mm-hmm. It's not a small thing, but I didn't know how to, like, really address it without, like, I don't know. I was trying to think of, like, so Deanna asked me about my dad and how, like, I didn't really get into, like, the topic of, like, my dad, since he wasn't around. Like, he was around at some point, but he wasn't around, and I kind of glossed over it a little bit when I talked about it, but it is a bit of, like, a loaded question. So essentially, he was around, but, like, my dad's main thing in life, honestly, was just to read the word and be a pastor. And I think he tried, like, the husband and father thing, and, like, he legitimately tried, but I think it was just really hard. like it was just really hard, honestly. Like, and I think with it being hard, he at just at some point he was like, I'll just kind of come back, and you know, I'll just kind of come back and forth whenever I can, but I just can't, you know. And he was just so set on like, I got to get my doctorate and my PhD, and that was kind of like his main focus. And those are also like the years that we were kind of coming up, but like he came back a few times and so forth, but yeah, so you know, I've of course struggled with like a relationship with my dad, especially now since he's in Kenya, but yeah, so it wasn't, you know, that was a bit of a hard topic, but I didn't know how to like talk about it, and also if I even had enough time to talk about it, so yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, so I think I have. Can I read that quote real quick, and then I'll. It was like the very last slide. All right. So this is from the David Platt book, and yeah, I don't know. It was just one of those like quotes. I just kind of remember because I was going through some of the books as well, and I just kind of came across this quote, and yeah, and I just wanted to share it. So the fruit of following Jesus is a new heart with a new mind, new desires, a new will, a new way of relating to people around you, and a new purpose. Follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. This is not some solicitation to tread a path of superficial religion. This is an invitation to taste a pleasure that can only be found in a supernatural relationship with Jesus. He beckons you to let your heart be captivated by his greatness, and your life be changed by his grace. Turn from your sin and yourself and trust in him as the all-sovereign, all-satisfying savior of your soul. Yeah, so, and I felt like that was like, that's really been like the process of me understanding the Lord before, me understanding him like in terms of like intellectual level, but then also kind of like loving him like from a heart level, you know. So, yeah. I guess I'll pray and then we'll hopefully have a little bit of time for coffee. Lord, we give you praise. You're worth all the praise, Lord. Thank you for just all the ways, Lord, that you're just continually with us, God. Thank you for calling us to be with you, Lord, and to dine with you, and to receive your love and to be loved by you. And we thank you for all the ways that you pour out your love, God, in an overflowing way. God, we thank you for testimonies and being able to like remember and celebrate the ways that you've worked in our lives, God, and how you're going to continue working in our lives, God. And we thank you for opportunities that we get to return back to our first love. We thank you for your mercy, God, and your grace and your kindness that leads to repentance, and all the ways, Lord, that you draw us near to you, Lord, and the ways that your mercy and your love protects us, God, and empowers us to move forward in life, Lord. We thank you for this time that we got to share together and go through my testimony. I pray that it would touch whoever it is, Lord, that you would want to be encouraged by this, God, and we thank you for the other testimonies that are going to be coming after this, Lord. In your name we pray these things. Amen.